Thank you, Brother Jack, and good morning. Welcome again to Sandy Point. So good to see you. Glad you could be here. A lot of people couldn't today, so we're blessed to be able to be here. I'd like to welcome those who are watching by Facebook. I'm glad we're able to do that, and you can be a part of it. We wish you could be with us here, but we're glad to come into your homes by that means, too. And by radio. Don't forget to tell your friends we have radio service here, a couple miles, at least one good mile in this vicinity. And always share that with people that you know in this community. We're entering the Christmas season, as you can see. Our children are getting ready in preparation for presenting a Christmas musical to us, and that'll be the 17th, Lord willing, of December. But the months are passing fastly, and boy, November, that one got away from us in a hurry, didn't it? And that, the older you get, the months fly by. So a lot will be happening. There'll be lots of gatherings. Keep in mind, Abby's work, and we're going to feed the hungry here the 16th. And if I forget to announce it at the close, if you're interested in more help, stay, and she'll have a short meeting with you over that. But Christmas season, a lot going on. Christmas dinners, work dinners, family dinners, Christmas parties, a lot to do. Let's just be careful that we don't miss the moment. Sometimes we get so busy that we don't enjoy the moment and what it's about. In pre-Christmas stories, as we start, we'll be talking, I'm sure. Lord knows I don't have my sermons planned out for this month, but I'd be surprised if it's not Christmas or in it. But one of the first things we need to understand and remember about that, in the New Testament, before Christ came, before the announcement of the birth of the Messiah, He has come, amen? And He is coming back, okay? But before that, there was a dark period in the nation of Israel where nothing really was happening. You know, sometimes we go through dry spells in our lives, and even in churches sometimes, where there's maybe not much going on. There was 400 years of that in between the Old and the New Testament scriptures. Really not anything significant happening. No movement of God, the Spirit, no prophetic vision, no angels, not much of nothing happening, people just carrying on with their lives. This is pre-birth of Christ times. Carrying on their lives, and all of a sudden, to break those 400 years of silence, a shocking moment comes at the temple when Gabriel appears before Zacharias the priest and announces, not yet the birth of Christ, but that the coming of John the Baptist, and that he and his elderly wife would have a son, and he would be tasked with the job of coming in the spirit after the likeness of Elijah to prepare the nation for the coming of the Messiah. And the lesson in that is that, and in which he done his work and done it well, and then he stepped off of the stage and Christ took over. All that he could do, and a lot of people went out there and listened to this itinerant, wild-looking preacher in the wilderness and submitted themselves to his baptism of repentance as he preached the message of what? The coming of the Messiah, the coming of the wrath of God, and that we need to be prepared for it. For his task is to somewhat get the people and the nation halfway ready for the coming of the Messiah. And still they missed him. Still they missed him. But his work is very important. And Jesus said, those born among women is not greater than John the Baptist. Well, you and I are tasked with a much similar job today because we know that Jesus is coming. Amen? The end of the age, Jesus is coming. Do we think that people are ready for that? Absolutely no. We get a big no there. So what is our job? As hard as it might be, our job is to try to get as many of them ready as what we can, right? We are to, like John the Baptist, to point people to the coming of Jesus. He's coming back in great power and glory. Vindication for God's people, but the wrath of God on those who are ungodly and reject the gospel of Jesus. So let's look at John the Baptist this morning. We'll be reading from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 3. The Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 3, verses 1 through 18, to get the whole background of this. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being the tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and the regions of Trachonois and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, Ananias and Caiaphas being high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Then said he unto the multitudes that came forth to be baptized of him, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now that also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees, every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." And the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" And he answered and said to them, "He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise." Then came also publicans to be baptized. And they said unto him, "Master, what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Exact no more than that which is appointed you." And soldiers likewise demanded him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts, if John, whether he were the Christ or not. John answered, saying to them, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchets of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloosen. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and shall gather the wheat into the garner, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire, unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. Now in the midst of John's prophetic word here to the people, and his word is, repent, for the Lord is coming. And the people ask him, saying, what shall we do then? So, some of the people believed and responded. In fact, a lot of people went out into Jordan, out in the wilderness, responded to his message and took part in his baptism of repentance, and his message here is accepted, and that is, prepare ye the way of the Lord. There is one coming that you are not in shape for his arrival. You need to get yourself in shape. The Lord is coming. Okay, when the people accept that and say, okay, we it says all the people were in expectation. You know, they're thinking about this. It's being preached to them. And so they somewhat accept his message as being authentic here. If the Lord is coming, this message that you're preaching, if it's true, and we're to get ready for it, what do we need to do? So, in our days today, our message is that Christ is coming. At the end of the age, we believe, is near. And that there's some preparations to be made. If people would respond positively then and say, okay, that being the case, we'll halfway accept that message that the Messiah is coming, and we admit that we're probably not in shape for his arrival, what do we need to do here? And that's what they're asking. What shall we do then? Think about that. Well, if people ask us today, we need to have some answers for them. We need to be able to tell people what they may need to do. So, if you're listening or here today, and as we talk about the coming of the Lord, if you can't turn a deaf ear to that, that all signs are pointing to the imminent coming of Jesus Christ at the end of the age, we got some catching up to do before he comes, and what do I need to do? What do we need to do to be in shape for his coming? So you think about that, and the Word of God tells us what to do, and we can share that with you today and with people everywhere. We can do it. The Lord is coming, so what do we need to do then? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today's blessings, for the Word of God. Help us to share it, dear Lord, that people would understand it. And I pray that we would always be able to give an answer to people who would ask and say, if what you're saying is true, if what you're preaching is true, if what your church is teaching is true, what do we need to do to get in shape for that event of the coming of Jesus? What do we need to do to be prepared for death if it comes before Jesus? Lord, help us to be ready with answers, and help us to share your word that gives us those answers today. Bless us with your presence. Bless those who are listening and those who are here. We pray for your Holy Spirit to be both here and in the homes, wherever this is going out. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Messiah is coming. John the Baptist, Jesus has already told you, said, among those born of women, there's not a greater. What a fine man of God he was, who knew his mission, his calling, and when his mission was completed, he was able to fade off of the way and point people to Jesus, Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He wasn't in it for fame, fortune. He didn't have an ego that would have caused him to want to continue a ministry alongside of Christ. But when Jesus came, he said, I must decrease and he must increase. It's all about Jesus. Oh, that we could all have more of that spirit today. There's so much egos involved in people today. People have their own agendas. But John was concerned about God's agenda. And he had a clear understanding of his calling. Oh, to God that we would have clear understanding that what it is that God has for us to do and not encroach and go off in different paths and do different things. John accepted his role, and when he had finished his role, he was ready to go be with the Lord. Amen? He had no egos, no interests of fame and fortune and continuing on. He done his job, and he done it well. Jesus said that. Amen? Not a greater among women has been born than John. What a great example John the Baptist was, who accepted his role, knew what he was to do, and done a good job at it. Done a good job. His mission is to prepare the nation for the Messiah. The angel foretold his mission. He would come in the spirit of Elijah and turn the hearts of the people back. You know, try to condition people and to get them ready. Listen, we're living in a world. We're living in a culture. You know, we used to say things are going on in California and New York and we're living in a community today, you know, that needs conditioning. There are people all around us today who are not in any condition for the coming of the Lord. You know, as Christians, we have to be in condition, and we're tasked with the chore of trying to get those around us in a condition for the coming of the Lord. John the Baptist was an unusual character. He didn't go into the cities and the villages. He went out into the wilderness. And the surprising thing about it, but not surprising because the Spirit of God can surprise you, he went out into the wilderness to preach his message. But people came. We have no indication that he went through the cities broadcasting and advertising, I got a big revival way out there in the wilderness of Judea. You people of the towns come out there, but by simply by word of mouth. You know, the Spirit of God was there, and people were being drawn to this prophetic message that the wilderness preacher had to preach, and it was what? Repent, because you are not ready for the coming of the Messiah. John didn't tell people how to be saved. He is getting people ready for the coming of Jesus. Jesus will tell you how to get saved. That's what he's saying. Jesus, he is coming, and you need to be in shape to hear his message, or you will miss. Now, many of the people miss the coming of Jesus. But John prepared them as best he could. You know what? You can only do what you can do. And if we do our best, you know, we have peace. John was satisfied that he had done his best. He had fulfilled his mission. And there is a peace and contentment that God gives us when we have done that which is expected of us, you know. No regrets, John the Baptist could say. And he, here, you know, in the book of Luke, it just says the people, but in other of the Gospels, it says that all these people are going out into the wilderness to observe and to hear this man who certainly wasn't dressed fancy or anything. He was sort of a wilderness-like looking guy, a little while. but even the religious leaders. He got their attention. The Pharisees and the leaders came from Jerusalem out there. Let's go out there and see what's going on. What is it? And you know, they didn't have a clue. They missed the moment. They missed it. They did not realize and observe that this is a movement of God. Something big is happening. The people knew it. The common people knew it, and they came and participated and were baptized here, but the religious leaders observed from a distance. And they said, what's going on here? And other Gospels say that John confronted them, looked them in the eye, and called them snakes, vipers. Why have you come? Who's warned you to flee from wrath to come? You know. He knew that they had not come with a good heart, seeking to hear God's message. But he withstood them and preached the truth unto them, but they did not. They refused the baptism of John and would not submit themselves and be humbled unto that simple message that he has, and that is the Lord Christ is coming, and we are in no shape or form in a condition for his coming. Let's get ourselves ready for it. Now, has he preached this message about wrath to come? You know, we talk about today. We say, are you saved? You need to be saved. Saved from wrath to come. And people say, what do you mean saved? We mean that you are saved from the wrath to come. To be saved, you got to be saved from something. That something is the wrath of God that's going to be poured out upon this world when Jesus comes back for those who are unprepared. So if I say, are you saved today? That's what I mean. I mean, are you saved from that wrath to come? That message drew a note to the people who heard it that day. It got their attention, and they began to say, different classes of people asked him the question, okay, the Lord is coming, the wrath of God is coming, what do we need to do to get in shape? And he began to tell the people here. The people asked him, saying, what do we need to do about this to make it right? Hey, that's a question that when we are humble, when the Holy Spirit convicts us of their sins, you know, we're going to ask. We don't like this uncomfortable feeling. We don't like this feeling of not being in fellowship with God. We don't like this awful feeling of being lost and estranged and what? Unprepared for the coming of the Lord or unprepared for death. Either one, we don't like that lostness. Estranged. We don't like that. And we want to know what we need to do about it, don't we? What can I do to make this bad feeling go away? People who are suffering today's life, they want to know, what do I need to do to make this bad feeling go away? We need to come to Christ. And the people here are asking John, what do we need to do to be in shape for the coming of the Messiah? He's not telling them, these things will save you. He is saying, if you practice these things and repent of your sins, and this is turning. This is not just saying, I'm sorry, but it's turning and what? Doing the right thing. Do the right thing. Be in a condition to perceive the coming of the Lord. They said, what do we need to do then? In verse 10, he said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. He that hath meat, let him do likewise. You know, what's the Bible teach us from Genesis to Revelation? Be good and decent people, amen? Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And quit putting self first. Put God first and others second and self third. Then came also the publicans to be baptized. They are accepting his prophetic preaching here that the Messiah is coming and that we are not ready for it. Those who are lost today, you need to heed the message. The Messiah is coming again. Jesus Christ is coming, and if you're lost, you are not ready for that. And we need to be asking and searching questions. What do I need to do to be prepared for it? We're talking about two different things. We're talking about here, these people, it is the first coming of Jesus that we'll be celebrating here this month. The birth of our Savior, the Messiah, is about to come on the scene here. He's about 30 years old. John's ministry is closing out. He's having closure here. The Messiah will himself come and be baptized, and from that day forward, he will begin to preach the good news of the kingdom. Preaching ministry for 3.5 years, and then die on the cross and be raised again from the dead and ascend back to heaven where he's at the right hand of God, and he's coming again at the last days. Here the people are getting ready for his coming. This is not going to save these people, but it is going to get them ready for Jesus. People say, go to church. The church won't save you, but I'll tell you what, it's a mighty good place to hang out. You'll be around a lot of people who know Jesus. It's a good environment. These are good things to do. Study God's Word. Do the things that will bring you to Christ. This here is not going to save these people, but it's going to get them ready for the coming of the Lord. The publicans here, these are the low class. These are the expelled Jews who are tax collectors and the worst of society here. They came to be baptized and said to him, Master, what shall we do? Different classes of people here ask questions. People, the publicans, the soldiers. God is the same to all people, and we've all got to do the same thing. His answer to them is exact no more than that which is appointed you. Some of these people were notorious for being thieves. They robbed the people. They took more taxes than they're supposed to and kept some of it. They were lowlifes. No use for these people. They were not honorable people. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. The soldiers likewise demanded him, and what shall we do? Do no violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your ways. You know, all of these answers are essentially the same thing. Do the right thing. Be good and decent people. Repent of your sins. The one is coming. It's going to tell you what to do, and you need to be ready to hear his message. Your hearts need to be what? Conditioned. The hardness of the hearts prevent people sometimes from hearing God's message and his word. What can we do? Prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah. In the Gospel of St. John, that story about the woman at the well, remember, I refer to that often. It's an important message in the Gospel. She's a Samaritan. Jesus has broken traditions and culture things. And he is engaged in conversation with her, leading her to the truth. In John chapter 4, verses 19 through 25, this woman, being a Samaritan, had some teaching and some knowledge that a lot of people didn't have then, and still don't have today. Now, the Samaritans weren't accepted in Jerusalem. They had a separate worship because they were culturally separated from the Jews, and that's a long story. Not time for that. But they had their own little form of worship, and part of it was the law of Moses and some things that they had instituted. But they were part Jews, and they supposedly worshiped the one and the true living God. But anyhow, not accepted in Jerusalem. In verse number 19, the woman, after Jesus has engaged in conversation with her, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. So she is open, isn't she? She's open. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now, we got separate places of worship, and we do things a little different. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. You know, you don't really understand what you're worshiping here. You're trying to be religious, but you're a little misguided here in your worship. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And here's the part. Listen to this. She knows this. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. She had been taught that the Messiah was coming, and she believed it. She said, I know this. So she is ahead of the game, right? She's way ahead of a lot of people. A lot of people don't know that Jesus is coming back. But here's something else she knew. When He is come, He will tell us all things. He'll tell us. So John is conditioning the people to get them ready for the coming of the Messiah. And when He comes, He will tell you how to be saved. He'll tell you how to be saved. Isn't that wonderful? He'll tell you. Jesus told us how to be saved. Amen? He didn't just leave us hanging out there and say, how can we be right with God? How can we be and have a good relationship with God? The Messiah has come. Amen? And He has told us how to be saved. He has. What did He say? Simplifying it, it says here in the book of Mark, as He began, after He was baptized of John, went into the wilderness and was tempted three times of the devil, and He begins His ministry of preaching the good news. His message was simple. It's still simple today. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. What is the gospel? The good news of what Jesus has done for us. It is good news that our sins can be done away with because of His death, burial, and resurrection. That is good news. And those who receive it must embrace it as good news. It is the best news that you could ever know when you're in a lost condition. Unsaved and lost and unprepared for death, unprepared for the coming of the Lord. It is the best news you could ever wish for. And that is, you can be right in God's eyes. Because of what Christ done for you. Because He died. He took the load of your sins and became the sacrifice that would appease the judgment of God and he rose from the dead. And hereby we know that we have life in him, because he lives to make intercessions for us. He told us what to do. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent. Admit that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved. The Bible teaches us that we're all sinners and we all need to be saved. Now, on the day of Pentecost, when the gospel was preached by the church is born in Jerusalem, and after the preaching of Peter, the Apostle Peter, the Holy Spirit convicts people. Okay, we're convinced. Did you know that you cannot convince a person that they are lost, and it's not your job to? You can challenge them about it and talk to them about their faith, but your job is not to convince people that they are lost. You are to tell them about Jesus. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to convince and to convict people that they are lost. And that happens as the gospel is shared. Aren't you glad it's not our job to do that? Our task is to share the good news, and then God sends the Holy Spirit to convince people that they are lost. It's not an argument that we have to make. I know you're lost. Not my job. I just tell you the gospel. The Holy Spirit. Peter preached the gospel, and these people were convicted. The Holy Spirit convicted them. Peter didn't convict them. The Spirit convicted them. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Now when they heard this, when they heard what? The gospel. When they heard this, you crucified the Lord, your sins, you are guilty, we're all guilty before God. When they heard this, they were plucked in their hearts. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Okay. We're not ready for death. We're not ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. What shall we do? What can we do to be right with God? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. A simple message. Repent and believe the gospel of Jesus. St. Paul and Silas were imprisoned in Philippi, and they sang praises unto God and prayed, and the prison was rocked by an earthquake. And the jailer, whose life was on the line for the prisoners, assuming that all the prisoners had fled, was about to commit suicide when St. Paul hollered out and said, do thyself no harm, for we are all there. That was good news. That man was about to do the honorable thing, and that was take his life, because he's responsible. That's what he's supposed to do. And just before he committed suicide with a sword, Paul's voice rang out and said, do thyself no harm. We're all here. We're all here. And after hearing these men sing praises and praying and preaching the gospel to other people, the Bible says this jailer comes in under conviction, trembling, and falls down before them. Acts chapter 16, verse 30. And here's what he says. He says, he calls for light and came trembling and fell down before them. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Whoa. What do I need to do? You have convinced me that this is real. What do I need to do about it? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they took him that night and baptized him and his household. What shall we do? Aren't you glad that God didn't just leave us in jeopardy, just hanging, you know, to figure out what it is, what can we do? It's something more to do, to figure it out and all that, but it's relatively simple. What shall we do then? Jesus said in Matthew 18 and verse 3, he said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." You must be changed. You must be converted, you know. There must be a change. Jesus told Nicodemus as he came to him at night, he said, "Verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." What shall we do? We need to repent and to believe the gospel. John the Baptist, whom Jesus said, "Not a greater has been born among women," paid him the highest tribute among men. He was tasked with a job. How would you like to have his job, you know, to prepare a nation for the coming of the Lord? But he done it faithfully. He done his job. The Lord is coming. Our job is to prepare the people as best we can. It's a tough task, isn't it? We are tasked with a pretty good job. But we have been empowered to do so. Our job is not to convince and to make them do it. We are to share the gospel. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He will convince them. He will honor our word if we preach it in its truth and in the power of God. And that is that Jesus is coming and we need to repent and believe the gospel. That death is appointed to all of us, that we need to be prepared for death or for the coming of the Lord. What shall we do then? If you're uncomfortable today, unprepared for death, really not sure of what would happen if I die or not, you are not ready for that. So you need to be ready. This doctrine of the coming of the Lord that is throughout the New Testament, that we believe emphatically that the coming of the Lord is near. If that troubles you, you know, if you're ready for that, the Bible says, "Lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh." That is a good thing. When Jesus comes to get us, to carry us back to glory. We sung a song, "How Beautiful Heaven Must Be." It says, "Eye has not seen near, ears not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him." I like pictures of the northern lights, the Aurora Borealis. You know, I would like to see that somewhere in Finland or somewhere over there where it's all different colors. Nothing in this world can compare to the beauties of what God has prepared for us. And if we're prepared and ready for Him, we can lift up our heads and go to glory shouting all the way, amen? But there is that other side. If we're not sure or we just don't know, what shall we do? Repent and believe the gospel. I'm going to ask Brother Jack to come and close the song. If you're here today or if you're watching at home, you do the same thing. If you are not ready for the coming of Jesus, if you're not ready for death, if you're not ready for His coming at the end of this age, and I don't know how we could deny that we're not winding down into the final days of this planet, but either way, are you prepared for the coming of the Lord? If not, what do we need to do to get ready? Repent and believe the gospel. The good news of what Jesus done for you. Let's stand and sing.